Call this meeting to order. This is the Laughlin Town Advisory Board meeting at 1:30 PM on Tuesday, the 11th of July, 2017, at the Regional Government Center. We'll start with the invocation by Doug Wesley, and we'll ask Stephanie Beathard to lead the Pledge of Allegiance if you all can stand.
We know that a few years from now, that there's going to be a renovation of the planet. We're going to have a new planet where everybody's going to be business owners, where everybody's going to be landowners. And we also know that at the end of 1,000 years, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. No pollution, we're starting over again. Look forward to those days. But for now, for today, we want to bless those around us, our police department, fire department, our school teachers, our library, the town board, the children of Laughlin. Please bless this meeting today. These are fine people that are looking forward to do the best they can for all of us in Laughlin. We thank you and we love you. We bless you in the name of Jesus.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll call the roll now. Gina Mackey?
Here.
Stephanie Beathard?
Here.
Kathy Oates?
Here.
Chris Henry?
Here.
James Moniachi?
Here.
That's a quorum. Roman numeral number 2, public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on any individual public hearing items. We have 90 days. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. When you do speak, please step up to the speaker's podium. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the comments, this will be done by the chair or by the board by majority vote. Does anybody wish to speak to an item that's on the agenda? Seeing none, we will progress to item number 3, approval of the agenda for July 11th.
Chairman? You might want to give the top of the agenda the notes. Read those over.
Oh, yes. I forgot to keep your cell phone silent. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board may combine two or more agenda items, may remove an item, or delay discussion related to an item at any time. Again, no action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. We can skip money or something because we don't have any of those. But please turn off or mute all your cell phones and other electronic devices. And if you have any private conversations, please take them out in the hallway. If you need handicapped or physical disability assistance, you have to call ahead of time. And supporting materials provided to the board for this meeting may be requested from the town manager's office at 702-298-0828 and will be available on the county's website at www.clarkcountymd.gov. Roman number 4, informational items. The first one is to receive a report from Officer Walt Hemingway of the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department's Las Vegas substation.
You skipped number 3 again.
We need to do the approval of the agenda.
That's right.
Glasses, Okay, item number three, so we need to take a vote on it. All those in favor of the agenda as presented?
Aye.
Aye.
That's 5-0. Okay, passes. Okay. Now on to the informational items. Officer Walt Hemingway with Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department's Laughlin Substation regarding activities and statistics during the past month and other area crime concerns for discussion on the law.
Good afternoon, Walt Hemingway, H-E-M-I-N-G-W-A-Y. So calls for service in the Laughlin area are up 4.3%. So we went from 365 this time last year.
Can you speak into the microphone, please?
Switch to the camera. Okay.
I hate microphones.
To 381. So our traffic citations for Laughlin are 426 for the month and zero other type of citations. We had two DUIs, battery, domestic violence arrest. We had in Laughlin 4 adult, 0 juveniles. We booked in 48 people in Laughlin and one juvenile arrest in Laughlin. So we had 3 juvenile citations, and that was for trespassing, if anybody wanted to know. And you're not interested in the casino drive area, are you, or are we? Yes?
If you want to get
it. Just calls for service, they're up across the board. Obviously, this time of year, with the summer months, we get a lot more calls for service. So, yeah, those are a little bit. And then our apartment complexes are also up. Not real significant, but they are up. We had a couple people arrested for warrants and drugs on Casino Drive, some felony fugitive warrants, and some extradition out of Mojave County, where we would actually go pick them up and bring them back to Nevada to face their charges. Had some stolen vehicles. Other than that, nothing real significant. We're getting a big increase of fraudulent type stuff this time of year. Like I said, other people coming from out of state, bringing their labs and whatnot, making checks, cashing up casinos or credit cards, false IDs, and we're dealing with that stuff right now. But other than that, we don't have a lot going on. Any questions?
Any questions from the board members?
Yeah, I have one question. I don't know if you would be the right individual to ask this to, but on July 1st, someone notified me that Lady and Lawton had found a bag of pills, and she called a number, a 702 number, I'm not sure which one it was, and because she wanted to know what to do with them, and she was afraid to get in her car, and she got stopped with these, and they told her just to dispose of them. What is the procedure when they call? So I'm not sure what number it was.
Right.
And then I asked her if she got the name of the officer or the person she talked to.
So we don't know if she talked to an officer or not?
She said she did.
Okay.
What is the actual procedure?
Well, she can call 311. You know, we understand that there's a time delay. Sometimes you'll have to be on hold for a little bit. Otherwise, they could bring them right down to the station. We have a pill box right in our lobby. We empty it once a month, and it's full. So we get, you know, a lot of things.
Is that available over a week?
No.
That
is not, yes.
Because she wanted an officer to come by. She says, I see officers in my neighborhood. Would they be able to pick them up?
Yeah, if she was able to either flag down an officer or call 311, an officer would respond and impound those items or dispose of them properly. I'm not sure what the fire department does on the weekends, but I know our lobby is closed, so it would not be available.
Okay, I can back you with that information.
Yeah, sure. So 311 or just flag down an officer. So. Okay.
Thank you, Walt. Item number two, received a report from Sergeant Raymond Hose of the Nevada Highway Patrol regarding activities and statistics during the last month and other public safety concerns for discussion only.
How you doing? Raymond Hubs, Nevada Patrol, HUBBS. And also, sir, to answer your question on that last question for Walton Hills, if there isn't any place that is open, you can always call the Highway Patrol and we will have an officer respond to it. We don't have like a pillbox or a drop box or anything, but if one of our troopers goes and gets that, we would actually take that, book it in, and take it into the evidence room in Las Vegas for destruction, and then they will take care of it from there. So that's also another option. I'm not sure if the fire department has something also. I'm sure Captain will let you know that too. As far as our activity with the Highway Patrol, we responded to 245 calls for service. We stopped 471 traffic stops, and we issued 344 citations off those traffic stops. We arrested 18 people last month. We have been concentrating on the entries to the lake and the river along 95 and also down here. So that's, like I said, in past meetings, we're doing our DUI direct enforcement in those areas, and it's very successful. We have last month alone, we arrested 6 DUIs and one felony arrest we had with one that had a tar arrow. We worked 8 crashes. One of those, unfortunately, was a fatality crash up on north of Searchlight. As far as manpower, Trooper Becker, who took the lead for family issues, went back to New York. He actually resigned, so he's no longer on our roster. So now the Laughlin District is down to 4 troopers in need. We have one in the academy, like I said, and he's not going to be on the road. We're not going to see him probably by the time we get through training until early November or so. And then he's still going to have a process of training, and that's when we'll actually get him in the district and we'll finish up his training and kick him loose. I'm working very hard to fill that last slot, but unfortunately we're looking at almost a year by the time we select someone, send them to the academy and train them. Hopefully, you know, that nothing happens to where they, they're not able to complete or stay. As far as further direct enforcement, I think our next direct enforcement is going to be down here on 163, trying to determine whether we're going to get a speed enforcement or maybe a seatbelt enforcement. And we're also going to continue doing a little bit of extra time on the entries to the lakes, especially on the weekends, and, trying to keep these DUIs off of the highway, catch them as soon as we can come out. That's pretty much all I got. Any questions?
Any questions from the board?
Thanks.
Thank you. Number 3, received a report from Captain Warren Whitney at the Clark County Fire Department regarding calls for service during the past month and other fire prevention issues for discussion only.
Good afternoon. As you stated, my name is Captain Warren Whitney, W-H-I-T-N-E-Y. As far as total number of calls, we have 2 stations up here with 3 units, 2 engines and a rescue. The total number of calls for both stations has increased from 234 to 255. If you look up at the top of the numbers, where it says engine 76 and rescue 76 totals, it's showing the engines calls have gone down 10, but the rescues has gone up significantly. We have a new dispatch model where we're sending out the rescues on calls that we feel need less manpower. So the engine will go on fires, car accidents, codes, seizures. We need more manpower, and we're trying to keep the engines available for those specific calls. It seems like it's working out pretty well. Sometimes the guys on the rescue don't like it because they get worked a little bit more. As far as, the drugs, pills comment, we do not, it's not our policy to take them, but I actually think the lady that you're speaking of came to our fire station, and we took them for her. We referred her to Metro. She said that they had told her that their box was full, so we went and took them. And it may have been on the weekend, but we took them and we put them in our biohazard box, and they were destroyed. As far far as significant calls, we did have a drowning at the Golden Nugget the other night. Was recovered the next day by a bullhead. I'm not sure what's on that. Metro will be able to speak to that better. We had an electrical fire last night at Harris. It looked pretty bad. Initial reports were pretty bad, but it only was a motor bushing in that generator room, so it was nothing significant. We also had a brush fire up against the hotel tower at the Edgewater the other night. Probably started by a discarded cigarette. Again, only caught the brush on fire, but it did some significant external damage to the building. Could be handled by painting, but got some smoke inside. And we also had we're having more brush fires, as we were talking about. We saw that one. We saw the one across Bullhead the other day. We also had one on the Laughlin side where we utilized their boat. They have a fire pump on the boat. Ours does not. That particular day, their fire pump wasn't operating. Our boat right now has outlived its service life, and we're trying to get a new boat similar to Bullhead's with a fire pump, aluminum hull. So we're using that call and some other calls to try and justify the need to help out for calls like that. Anytime we have people in the water, because the boat is specifically designed to lower gates, so we can pull people in. We're just with the officers, high patrolman hubs, we were discussing a call where we had that came up in your last meeting. We had a patient swim by the dam. They bring this up the last time we're meeting. He was French, and he had some psychological issues, and we were called in to help get him out of the water. Well, he jumped. When we pulled him in the boat, he throttled the boat into the side. Almost, he could have cut up my fireman pretty bad, but I restrained him and was taken into custody by Metro. But anyway, that type of call could also be avoided mostly with a jet boat, the same kind of bullhead. Anyway, I'm just bringing it up because our chiefs may come to you, Chief Haydu. He is definitely behind that type of boat. Any input from you guys, I think, would be helpful. We're just trying to get better equipment up here because we have such limited resources. I wanted to go back to the calls. 255 calls. It only looks like 21 calls, but that doesn't include all the alphas, which are non-significant calls that aren't emergency calls, or the inebriated people. So that only sends AMR. So you're missing probably another 40 calls there. Now, we've done that to keep our units available, but the problem that's happening with this is when AMR goes and picks this person up, takes them to the warm seat, that takes an ambulance away. So we were finding out that increasingly we're running out of ambulances on the side of the river. So if we have four calls hit at once, we have no resources. We have to call Bullhead in. And the other day when they had the brush fire, they had no units available because they were all fighting the brush fire. So it was actually a breather up on the state route, and we responded, treated her, and had to wait for a unit to get there, which took an extra 15 minutes. But again, we're negotiating with AMR to try and get at least a third unit up here on holidays or busy weekends. And if that doesn't work, maybe talk to community ambulance. I think they might be willing to try and get in here and get the contract for off. Other than that, I don't have any other information. Is there any questions?
I was just going to recommend, I think if you guys are looking for a water rescue type vehicle, I think you can put a formal request for a letter of support from the board as well.
Oh, okay, great.
So you can do that.
Yeah. Okay, great. After the meeting, I'll get in touch. That would be very helpful.
Any other questions from the board?
Yeah.
You mentioned AMR. Is that the only ambulance service contracted with PARC?
No, we have Community Ambulance and Medic West, but they have agreements as to their geographical response areas. And so AMR's contract with counties, they get Laughlin. Now, the Medic West and AMR are both owned by the same parent company. Community Ambulance is a new company, and because they're new, they are extremely flexible and we work with us. So it's in the middle of contract right now, but have brought it up to our chiefs that maybe if we speak to them now and they can put a word in it, put an offer in it, it would help during negotiating our next contract. Even if we keep AMR, if they could at least, you know, get us an extra unit up here on those weekends and holidays. So,
thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Does Bullhead work well with you guys?
We have an excellent relationship with Bullhead. They send over units if we need fire trucks, engines, but mostly, because most of our calls are medical, they'll send over their rescue units in as long as they're not tied up. Yeah, and they call us over too for structure fires, and we also have a pretty bad accident over in Mobile that we responded to.
So, as of right now, we don't have a working boat.
It does work, but it's we have a 10-year service life, and this boat was not made for the river. But though changing water levels and the topography, it's an outboard. Pretty much every time we take it out, we damage a prop. So the reason I mentioned the call where the guy throttled the boat is when he put the throttle, went by and pulled the outdrive up so that it wouldn't hit the rocks that he hit, had been in enough, it would have turned and got my fireman and cut him up pretty bad. So we are, it does function. It's not the best boat. That's why we're looking for a more specific river rescue and fire suppression boat.
Any other questions from the board? Thank you, sir. Item number 4, received a report from Rick Turner of the Clark County Water Reclamation District regarding the status of the water reclamation system for discussion on.
All right, Greg Turner, Water Reclamation District. For the month of June 2017, we treated 2.18 million gallons per day on average and returned that to the Colorado River. That is 30,000 gallons per day, more than last year. We haven't had any sewer service complaints or odor complaints. We did have 37 call for tickets. And if I can just add on the disposal of medication, I was really happy to hear that people are referring to the right place, not flushing them down. We don't have any mechanism to treat that, and then it would go right out to the river. So, good job with that. Any questions?
Any questions from the board?
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Next is Chauncey Chidon of the Big Dome Water District regarding the status of the water system for discussion on.
Good afternoon, everybody. Chauncey Chidon on behalf of the Big Dome Water District. The diversion report for the month of June was 393 acre feet compared with 359 acre feet last year. Total diversions thus far for the year total 1,881 acre feet. There were no complaints, but there was a report of a leak near Cottage Rose in James A. Bilbray on June 21st. Crews went down there, and by June 22nd, it was fixed. I also wanted to remind everyone that the Big Bend Water District Citizens Advisory Committee meeting will be held here tomorrow at the Lawton Regional Government Center from 10 a.m. and then approximately noon. Again, I want to let everybody know that the meeting is open to the public. We certainly want to welcome whoever wants to come to join. And just a note, being from the Water District, and just like Ray, we appreciate the mills being propped up at the fire station and have flushed down the toilet. But then I'm happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Any questions from any of the other board members? Unusual question about if we could get a report from you on the budget and the finances.
Mr. May, actually, are you talking about the budget and finances for the Big Bend Water District?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That will be covered. I send you something separately, but that will also be covered in the Citizens Advisory Committee tomorrow, but I will send something.
Okay. Now, will that be the budget that concluded June 30th, or is that the new budget?
It's our most up-to-date budget.
The one that went into effect July 1st?
Yes, we go by fiscal year, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Manny, I should just be clear, did you still want me to send you some, or where are you going to come?
Okay,
I will. Thank you very much.
Any other questions?
Number six is Richard DeClerc. His report for the Parks and Recreation Department regarding the status of programs and upcoming activities for discussion comments.
Thank you.
Richard DeClerc, Program Supervisor, Parks and Recreation. Our stats for June 2017, we ran 45 programs, had 357 enrolled participants. Last year, for June, we had 39 programs and 317, so we were up a little bit. We had a total of 1,466 total attendees for the month, compared to 1,177 last year, which, when I saw that, now I was computing these numbers. That was great. That's a great June for us. We'd like July and August to be like that too. So we've been working pretty tough to try to get those numbers up in the summertime, running different things. So obviously next month I'll report on some of our July stuff. But we're off to a pretty good start, so we're happy about that. Some upcoming events, July 14th, which is this Friday, we have our trivia night. It is James Bond-themed. We have a pretty good deal. It's for a team of four people. It's $25. We've put a ton of work into this. This is something that we're trying to do like maybe three times a year for these trivia nights. It's a great deal. We got it. It's getting catered by Buffalo Wild Wings. We have tons of food coming, all kinds of stuff, lots of great prizes and stuff that everyone can win. And we're hoping that it becomes kind of like a staple event for us. So we do have some open team spots left, so if you guys know anyone, it's going to be really fun. So, July 31st is the National Night Out at the Pool. We don't run that particular event. We kind of in a cooperation with Metro and stuff, using the pool, and then Parks and Rec will be out there doing some stuff. So that's July 31st. We're still running the summer food program, which is Monday through Friday at the Spirit Mountain Activity Center. So right now we service mainly the Boys and Girls Club, but that is open to kids under 18. So a couple of programs that we have going in the summer, they were on here last month, was this indoor bocce and ladder ball. And then we have our Sit and Fit Chair Yoga, which has been really popular to start off. That's a brand new program that we adopted from a senior center in Las Vegas and brought out here. So we're really happy with the way that's going to start. Some updates. We got our inflatable obstacle course, which this thing is awesome. It's huge, gigantic. It's like seven pieces. It is a pain in the butt to put up and take down, but it is, it's going to be awesome once we get it going. We're doing some training starting next week with our staff, and then we're going to have some staff from Vegas that are going to come down and learn how to use it. It does take a good amount of work to get it up and then take it down, but we're looking forward to having it out at events. Our plan is to have at least pieces of it out at the National Night Out, depending on the space that we have, because this thing basically takes up 200 feet in a straight line and about 50 feet wide, 40 feet wide. So you need a good chunk of space to lay the entire thing out, but it is in seven pieces, so we can put up different pieces of it and stuff like that. So we're looking forward to having that out there and kind of debuting that. And then in conjunction with that, we're still working on our Movies in the Park and Community Days, which we hope to get going here in August, September. We did just get, as Mr. Marinacci mentioned, our new budgets, so we can finally start working with some stuff for the new fiscal year. Other than that, everything else is going pretty good there, so we're happy with our attendance and hopefully we can keep it up. Any questions?
Any questions from the board?
Yes. Out of the, for the inflatable obstacle course, you know, as time's gone on, we've allocated different areas. Do you foresee that coming up where, you know, we would have like a designated area for that with maybe some shade over it or something? Would that be something you guys would do with the park there?
Well, our rules on inflatables are kind of, they're a little different. So in Spirit Mountain Park or Mountain View Park, there's no inflatables allowed unless they're done by the county. So we don't have, because there is no designated area there, we kind of put them there in spots that they fit. And the main reason is it does a massive amount of damage to the grass. So we work real close with the maintenance guys to make sure that the area we're putting in gets plenty of water ahead of time, gets plenty of water after. That's the main reason you can't have anything there. We also have different generator rules there because we use a different style of grass, different kind of grass. If most generators sit down into that grass and they brown it or burn it and do different stuff to it. So we do have some different rules there. At the Colorado River Heritage Trails, the Pyramid Canyon, we do have a section that is for bounce houses. And to my knowledge, we only have one bounce house company that has the proper insurance filed with us. And so if you have like a party there, you can put your bounce house only in that area. But Parks and Rec, we would go down there and put it in any spot we wanted based on working with the maintenance crews and making sure that everything would be okay.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it might be something, you know, you guys want to have as a fixture. Well, I mean,
yeah.
It's something that I would think could be done, you know.
Yeah,
we from the county.
Yeah, we could find a spot. The shade and stuff is rough. We'd probably have to get a shade structure built. The inflatable is so high that you would have to have really mature trees and cut them really high. We have that problem in Searchlight where we can't put some of the stuff up in their community park for that exact reason. So,
yeah.
We'd love to have like a shade structure that was 40, 50 feet high. That'd be great.
They have that out at the trailhead and stuff. They have the shade structures.
Yeah.
Cover the playground and stuff like that. I'm just wondering if that's something that you guys might want to.
Yeah, we put in our 10-year capital request. I just submitted that. We put it in for a special events site. So that's kind of what Pyramid Canyon has. They have like a mini, like little amphitheater thing and stuff like that. But we put it for like an actual site to be built as an attachment down there or at our park. So I don't know how far that goes, but we didn't submit for it to be built. So.
Yeah, it would be great because it's something not a lot of places have, an inflatable obstacle course would be good for locals and tourists alike.
Definitely, we're 100% unique in the fact that we have that. No other facility in Clark County has that course. So.
Yeah,
I'm getting a lot of requests for it right now. I'm like, no one's trying.
Permanent setup, you know,
yeah.
Permanent setup for it, that would be great.
Yep, that would be awesome. Anything else?
Yes, next month, could you give us a briefing on your budget?
I could, yeah. I could give you that. What, specifically in regards to what were you wondering? I don't have the exact numbers in front of you. I could probably give you a ballpark.
No, I mean, next month, when you can actually set down and say.
Yeah, I can, yeah, not a problem.
Appreciate that, thank you.
Anything else? Thanks.
Thank you, Richard. Number 7, we received a report from Jackie Mazzeo with the Boston Chamber of Commerce regarding current and upcoming events for discussion only.
Normally a little bit bigger than that. It's about what we call it, coffee table size. We wanted it more convenient for people to carry around because it has some really resourceful information in it, primarily a new map that we made that shows the area from north of Davis Dam all the way down to Boundary Cone for our visitors, our tourists, and our locals who are coming to the area. It also has a directory of all the members we have presently, and it does talk a lot about the natural resources in our area, which are the points of interest, like Great Bend Canyon and the dam and all the places where you can go off-roading and fishing and swimming. So I got about 50% of the changes I wanted in it this year. We'll go at it again next year and see how many more improvements we can make, but it was just too much too fast. The next document I gave you was Freedom of Expression. This is a first-year event for us, and it came out of the needs for our children in the area to have more access to funds for our arts programs in the schools. So I got with the schools and talked to Dawn and everybody at all levels for the arts programs, and they are in need of supplies and instruments and all the things that help graphic arts equipment to can help with any form of art, from dance to music to singing to physical artistry on canvas, the ceramics that they do, those kind of things. And so we developed an event that would benefit from schools. That's why it's called Freedom of Expression, because it doesn't matter what kind of art program it is. We are asking people to attend on the 27th of July at 5:30 for a $40 entry fee. $10 goes towards all the supplies, of course. The other $30 is earmarked. The whole 100% of the $30 goes to schools. In addition to that, we're going to have an auction of art pieces. It's hard to say what kind of pieces they are at this point. We have so many coming in. To do an auction, and that 100% of those funds will go to the school's art programs. The wine, it's a wine canvas show, so the wine is being donated by Kendall Jackson. Gold Nugget is providing the environment to do it in, and we're going to have art instructors there. So I am instructing people to think about freedom and liberty and all those wonderful things that we built 4th of July. I want you to continue through the month and think about what kind of artwork you would want to. How do you want to express your freedom on that canvas on that night? And you will have artists there to help you put that vision on a canvas piece of paper. We are asking all the celebrities in the area. I want to extend an invitation to Mr. Paulson. We're going to have people in front of the room that we can mock a little bit, make fun of their stick figures if they're not good artists. And I'll be at the front of the room to promote the fact that we're doing this for children. We're going to have a few videos of children who have benefited from the art program so that you can see them, but we can't have them there because they have to be 21 or older. So you can buy tickets. They're available at the Chamber of Commerce. You can just call and get them reserved and pick them up at will call that evening. Lots of volunteers are going to be there, and it's going to be a really fun evening. Our next event, and probably the final I want to talk to you about tonight, is the Community Achievement Awards. We are getting a lot of nominations this year. I don't know if it's because of our marketing program this year, we going out and pounding the pavement, we sending out a lot of emails, but we have to acknowledge the fact that we did add a new category. We combined humanitarian and civic award categories this year, and we added a, it's called a Young Wonder Award. The Young Wonder recognizes a young volunteer mentor, inventor, or entrepreneur 16 years or younger who is focused on the betterment of a community, dedicated to giving back, and is a lobbyist for change. So we read in the paper every day how a nice young student collected socks for the homeless for winter, or they collected pennies so that they could give it to their church for the youth program. Those are the students we're looking for, the people, the children in our community that need to be noticed and rewarded in a hero-type program like this, and encourage others to do the same at such a young age. It develops them into their adulthood in remembering to give back to their community and those less fortunate. So it's a new category. We're excited about it. We're getting lots of nominations for it. Nominations are over on August 1st. That gives our judging committee time to look over the nominations, come up with the final four, and do some final voting and get the word out on the final four. We are still looking for some judges in various diverse areas of our community, and I would like to extend an invitation to any of you who are interested in being a judge for Community Achievement Awards. I'd be more than happy to take a call and talk to you about the guidelines for that and what you are volunteering to do, because there are the minimum of four meetings that you have to attend. You have to sit through interviews of all the nominations, all the nominated people in each category to come up with the final four. So it is a lot of dedicated time, and then you have to be available for that. I just wanted to bring attention to also some dry brush, Mr. Paulson. I've noticed there's some dry brush around here that I don't know that we really notice on a day-to-day basis until something catches on fire along the river. And I don't know what kind of program we have for that, but I'd be willing to help identify those places if we have public works to clean them out for us. But some of them are pretty close to structures that may be a little concerned. And they're growing so fast with all the rain. That's all I have. Do you have any questions about any programs?
Any questions from board members?
Okay.
So freedom of expression, what schools are we talking? Bennett and Laughlin, or all over the schools in Boulder as well?
All the schools that are in this Colorado River Valley.
Okay.
because everyone from both sides of the river will be attending and donating their money or buying a ticket, so it's only fair to separate the two.
The youth award that you're talking about, where is that nomination sheet?
On the back of the nomination sheet, there is a category on the back.
Young Wonder Award?
Yes. And you can go online, and it has all the nomination sheets online. At the chamber, you just pull it up, fill it in, and hit send, it will go right to us, so you don't have to have a piece of paper.
Okay, perfect. And I haven't had your email. I don't know why or how come, but I know that it was, the school graduation date was a little bit, there was some misunderstanding of communication. The actual day of commencement is never on there until about December.
Oh, okay.
But the week of graduation, which, because we're a rural area, and there's 8 of our schools in the state, but on the bottom and very fine, like, I actually emailed to Brian and Dawn, and Dawn's like, wow, you found it, I didn't, they redid the entire website. So I didn't want you to think that, I misled you and tell you that schedule for the school has been up since March 11th.
Perfect. Yeah.
So, and I actually kind of ringed the district about not labeling that because we only have one person that comes and goes to all of the schools. Our graduation has been the same for 11 years. It's the third year of the Friday at 7 o'clock, always. So, unless they're going to change it, they should tell us. So, it is still that same. It is going to be the 24th at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, and I understand that's going to be Memorial Day weekend.
Correct. I know that Dawn is trying. I know.
Wow.
Yeah. So, we have a meeting. You know, typically most schools, like, not Robert, Mesquite, I think. Typically what will happen is because that, Deanna Wright, she has to go to all the graduations. She's our district. So she has to separate between 8 ceremonies. And, typically we're the biggest out of most of those, except for now we're off, I think, in Mesquite, a couple have more. But if we can let our seniors out of school on Wednesday and do graduation like Wednesday or Thursday, we definitely can't let them, we can go and do it on Monday. So they're going to have to toss that up and figure it out.
That's a logistics nightmare.
Yeah, person. And then all 8 rural areas are going to be upset because who wants graduation on a Wednesday in the middle of the week, especially if they, you know, so we'll figure it out. But ours will still be Friday.
Okay. Yeah, we'll take that into consideration. No problem.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I have one, Jackie.
Yes.
On this form, if you're nominating someone, should you designate on for which one it is off the back?
Which category? Yes, you're really welcome to identify which category you're intending them to be on, but based on your nomination and the title of that person or the age of that person, you may have to change the category because it has to stay within certain criteria.
Okay.
So if you nominated a senior for Youth Wonder, we have to put it back to the Citizen of the Year.
Now, I have a second question.
Okay.
I don't know if this is you're the right person to ask on this. I don't know if it's the Tourism Board or the Chamber. As we all know, July 1st, recreational marijuana was okay to be sold in the state of Nevada, and I had some discussions with some of the properties under policy in regards to the consumption of that, and I got 3 or 4 different. Do you have any idea whether or not the properties in town have got together to put together a policy?
I know for the properties that I have personally reported to, as an employee or as an executive, there was a no tolerance for consumption of any kind of illegal substance or legal substance that wasn't accepted by that private property on that property. Now, nobody's brought that to my attention in a board meeting, and our board is out until August or September, so I can actually send an email and ask for their property's policies, and then I can forward it to you.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
That's no problem. And I'd like to also say, MJ's on vacation for 2 weeks, so she will not be reporting again today. Any more questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Dwayne Worth cannot attend today's meeting from the library, so I'll summarize the written report. July 8th at the Lawton Branch, Las Vegas Park County Library District. Gallery exhibits Impressions of the Spring Mountains by Emil Food, which runs through August the 5th. These are pastels and oils inspired by Southern Nevada's beauty and many attractions. The large display case has aquatic invasive species from the National Park Service. Brown Bay Book Club will be Thursday, July the 13th at 11 a.m. And the book is The Target by David Baldacci. Free movie matinee. You can bring your own refreshments. Friday, July 7th. Whoops, that's over there. Friday, July 28th at 2 p.m. Lost City of Z, rated PG-13. Montessori and Me Family and Caregiver Play Group, Wednesday, July 19th, 5:30 p.m. And children of all ages are welcome. All family and caregiver groupings are welcome. Care of MV, Saturday, July 22, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's the open enrollment deadline. You may still qualify for coverage. Get help enrolling in a 2007 life insurance plan with in-person assistance. Adult coloring, Thursday, July 27 to 2 p.m. And we have weekly programs, our Club Tuesdays. This is, I guess, for children. 5 to 11, Tuesdays at 4:30. The Lego Club is Wednesdays at 4 p.m. for children, 5 to 11. Special programs in July, movie matinee, that's over with. Children's Crab, Saturday, July 15th, 3 p.m., ages 5 to 11. Making Magic with Adam Landon, Tuesday, July 18th, at 10:30 a.m., ages up to 11. Montessori and Me, Wednesday, July 19th, 5:30 p.m., all ages. Skim, Little Bits. Get creative with Little Bits Electronic Building Blocks, Thursday, July 20th, 4 p.m., ages 5 to 11. National Park Service, Friday, July 21st, 4 p.m., all ages. Story Time with Miss Tanya, Saturday, July 22nd, 3 p.m. up to ages 5. National Park Service Camping 101, Tuesday, July 25th, 4 p.m., all ages. And the Doodle Club, Saturday, July 29th at 3 p.m., ages 5 to 11. Buddy Borden isn't here, so go on to the Extension Service report. Number 11, announcements of upcoming neighborhood meetings and county community meetings and events for discussion only. Do you have anything, Brian?
I do not.
Anybody in the audience have any other community activities? Hearing none, we will proceed to item number 5, planning and zoning. Nothing. From number 6, general business. Nothing. From number 7, comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board or council's jurisdiction. No vote may be taken on any matter not listed on the agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. Clearly state your name and address. Step to study your last name, please, for the record. The presentation can be extended by the chair of the board. And we have a card from Kim Bannon. He's with the Mojave County Airport.
Hello, my name is Tim Bannon, Dezavoy, A-N-N-O-N. I serve as the Assistant Airport Director for Laughlin Bullhead International Airport, which is run by the Poppy County Airport Authority, 2550 Laughlin View Drive, Suite 117, Bullhead City, Arizona, 86429. Thank you for letting me speak today. I think this may have been better positioned on the formal agenda, so I apologize about not making a formal request for the airport to get on there, but I just wanted to very briefly give you a quick update on air service. As everybody knows, our air service for our region has started at Lawton Bullhead International Airport, starting on February 16th of 2017. We are currently served by American Airlines, who offers a 70-seat CRJ-700 regional jet with daily service to Phoenix, which offers approximately 50 connections within a three-hour connection window in Phoenix across the United States. The handout that I handed you, we call it a toolkit. It was recently updated to be a little bit more simplified. The first one we offered when service first started was a little bit complex and had a lot going on, so we simplified it a little bit to one page. It used to be two pages, actually, from that. It used to be four pages, so I just wanted to give this to you. I'm sure some of you may have seen this already, but I'm going to provide some information about our flight. So we just wanted to come today to, to ask for Laughlin's continued support and increase awareness in Laughlin. It truly is a regional effort to sustain air service like this. The current standing of the last 5 months, we're coming up on 5 months, is approximately 50% full. So our seat is 70 seats, our jet is 70 seats. It currently is at about 35 people each way on average. And in order for it to be sustainable, it needs to be at about 55 to 60. And that's where it becomes profitable for the airlines. We won't have a certain number on that. That's the ballpark we believe it has to be at. So right now, the service is being subsidized by a grant that the airport received, as well as local community match. So it's about a $1.28 million revenue guarantee for the airlines that attract them to come in initially. We also have marketing money that's been pledged. The airport's pledged $220,000, as well as about $600,000 in kind marketing contributions from the region. So that is still healthy. The fund is still healthy. It's sustainable for at least a year out. But we need to continue to build the air service, and we appreciate your support. I'm having up here, but we appreciate your support. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that the board may have.
Any questions?
Nope. This is public comment, so no questions.
Oh, no questions. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Item number 8. Next meeting date, August 8th, 2017, at 1:30 p.m. here. Any other comments from anybody? I'd like to yield the chair and turn this on.
Valley. That's the one I really don't like. They got all kinds of nice stuff. It feels.